Welcome to what we hope will be an annual event that we all look forward to, Covenant Sunday. And we thought it was a good time to do it because today happens to be the 8th anniversary of when the first core group meeting for planting this church first met in our home back in September of 2010. And before I say a few things, I just wanted to say thanks for being cooperative and patient. We've had to make a lot of changes and implement a lot of things over the last several months, and the building project has put us behind in the game plan, catch up some in some ways. So we know it's a lot of change, and I know from 15 years of pastoral experience that you all hate change, no matter what it is. But please, thank you for your patience. The change is slowing way down. Everything is up and running for the semester. We're not going to have any big changes, at least until next semester. But we also want to acknowledge some special guests that are here. Our general contractor who led this job, he's smiling, I'm going to embarrass him, but we noticed you were here, you couldn't sneak in. Nate Pringle, will you stand, and we just want to say thank you and give you a hand. I was probably the wrong person to do this little part of the service, but I guess there's no one else that can do it. Back in 2008 or 2009, I was at a large, busy church and got to the point where I felt like I was a religious events coordinator and not a pastor. And I had some mentors begin to encourage me to consider church planting. And little did I know that our presbytery, the regional body here at the same time, had a vision to plant a church in our denomination here in Wilmington. They were looking for a church planter, and they wanted a church that would preach grace and would do its best to engage the culture of the city of Wilmington to be a witness for Christ. And so looking back, I'm terrified by it. But Haley and I decided, yeah, we will step out and do it. We felt called. We had to raise $350,000. We sold our house. Remember, the housing market wasn't great back then in 2009, and we had to short sell our house. We moved back to town. We never thought we would get back to Wilmington, but the Lord led us here, and we came with a vision to plant a church, and it was a big vision. At the time, I was reading a book by Randy Pope, a pastor that he's ironically named Randy Pope. He's a Presbyterian pastor, but I look up to him a lot. I'd been a friend of his, and in his book, I can't remember who said it, he said, attempt something for God, so great for God that it's destined to fail if God's not in it. Attempt something so great for God that it's destined to fail if God's not in it. And everything I read about church planting said it is two things, if it's nothing else. It's exhilarating and it's exhausting. And Haley and I have found that to be true. Just a couple quick dates of a timeline over the last 8 years. In May, we moved back in 2010. In September of 2010, the first core group meeting was held in our home. Then we had a baby, and Camille was born, and so the Burrises, who were here, gladly let us meet in their home. Until in January 2011, we started our first public worship service in the afternoon at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, right over on North College Road. In 2012, some of you might remember the Easter service that we had at the Coastline Convention Center, if you were there. It was a great morning. We stayed at Emmanuel in the afternoon until February of 2013, when Haley and I had another child and had moved again. And we started our first morning service in the building we just moved from that was owned by the Church of God of Prophecy there on North College Road. In November of 2014, we were particularized, which means we were no longer Mission Church, and we ordained our first set of elders. There were five. In December of 2015, we ordained our first five deacons. In summer of 2016, one of the highlights of the last 8 years was Jay Denton and Bette Denton and their family moved to town. And something that we in the presbytery had been praying for was coming to realization. Jay started a Reformed University Fellowship campus ministry at UNCW. In 2017, we knew we couldn't stay where we were in that building, and so we began looking, and we looked everywhere, and we looked and we looked and we prayed and we looked and we prayed, and we started a capital campaign. And then here we are in August 2018, or September 2018, at 500 Kenwood Avenue, in a building that we now own by God's grace and through your giving and your sacrifice. And just as I look back over the years, to summarize, there's so much that has occurred that it's hard to know what to mention. I know I'll leave it out, but we've grown steadily in numbers and resources over the years. There's been many rich times of worship that has blessed us. There have been Sunday school classes and various Bible studies. There have been prayer meetings and prayer walks. In the children's ministry, we have had young worshipers during the sermon and art camp and VBS campout and superhero training and Christmas pageants and fall festivals. We've had college lunches. We've baptized many children. We have moved my office countless times. Ron West gave out a nice loud laugh down front because he helped move most of them. We've had the communicants class for children that are making their profession of faith. One of my highlights of the last 8 years was in 2014 on Easter Sunday when we baptized Dick Karras, who had recently come to faith after being in church for decades as he was dying with bone cancer. We baptized him in his wheelchair. In 2017, you guys, after a service one day when I asked you, you gave $15,000 to help the Kimmerys adopt a child from a mother who had asked us to find a home. There were men's and women's retreats. There's been the Dead Theologians Society. Secret, you can't know about it. First Wednesdays. There have been pig jigs and pickleball and picnics in the park. There have been various relationships in which grace and truth of the gospel have brought renewal and hope. And there have been countless times when you have shared Jesus with the people that you have come in contact with. So those of you who know me know that I struggle sometimes with being hard on myself. And as I look back over the last 8 years, I started to get discouraged a little bit. I don't know why, but I did. And I told Haley, I'm trying to write this for tomorrow, and it doesn't seem very remarkable. And she said that, well, there's a church that wasn't. And God has been faithful for 8 years. There were times when it was hard when I thought, well, maybe the vision was too big. But the Lord has encouraged me to say the vision was not too big. My timeline was too short. The first 8 years were just preparation. The church has been planted. And it has taken root. And now it's time for us to bear fruit. It's time to deepen our fellowship and extend our outreach to fulfill our vision to see God's kingdom come in our lives and in our city. Our vision, as stated, is to be a regional resource church of 350 members centrally located in Wilmington that plants churches, that preaches the gospel of grace, and reaches the next generation and makes disciples of Jesus. To do that as a church, we need to each have a missionary mindset and make key partnerships with other churches. In the coming years, and right now, I hope that we will focus on reaching the next generation, and by that I mean children and youth and college students, that we will practice evangelism and see fruit. I hope that we have to replace the baptismal bowl in that thing because we have worn it out and it has holes in it. We need to deepen our discipleship and plant churches. My vision is that we would be a part of racial reconciliation in our town in whatever way that God would allow. And that this English as a second language ministry that Jonathan King has been spearheading would take off. Let me say a quick word to the older generation among us, and let me tell you who you are. You're 40 and older, and I can speak to you because now I'm a part of your esteemed company. If I was 39, I probably would have said older is 39 and up. But listen to me very carefully, please. The tip of the spear of our vision is reaching the next generation. And I know that in adulthood, you look for success the first half of your life. In the second half, you wonder about significance. And I, as your pastor, want to call on you and say that we need you. And we need to connect to the older generation with the younger generation. And this is a very key time in your life because, unlike a lot of the people in their 20s and 30s that have kids and are in the thick of their career, you have resources, you have experience, you have time, and you have energy, and you have a night that you sleep through, usually. And so your years from 40 on are extremely fruitful for ministry. And we started the church, it was mainly young people with young children. And believe it or not, there was a time where we had to pray for some older people to come. And God has answered those prayers. And you are key to the vision over the next phase of this church's life. We came to Wilmington with the conviction that people came to live here seeking the good life. We're by the beach, it's a great climate, et cetera, except when hurricanes come. But we also had the conviction that the good life is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Where will we be as a church in 8 years or 16 or even 32? I don't know, but hopefully we would have made progress in our mission and our vision by God's grace. And I want to close as we look to the future with the chorus from a hymn that we have sung over the years that has become one of my favorites, Sovereign Over Us. And it says, your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. God's been faithful and God will be faithful. And I want to call up Jim Petty to share, speaking of our future and speaking of our vision, to share an update on the capital campaign. So Jim, come on up. Actually, you're going to want that, aren't you? And the mic.
Thank you, Rob. And I appreciate this opportunity on behalf of the committee just to report to you on the capital campaign, which we are now officially calling the Building to Serve campaign. So we're striving for this building, not so we can feel secure, but so we can serve the vision, the purposes that Christ has given us and called us to fulfill here in Wilmington. And I've really enjoyed my role in this, particularly because I've had a ringside seat to the vision and the faith of our leaders as they've stepped into this, and the prayers and the amazing generosity of God's people here, and actually seen it take shape into where we are this morning, as Rob has told us. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I'm also very thankful for the brothers and sisters that serve with us on the Building to Serve Committee. That's Elizabeth Sheets, Jen Thompson, Neil Clark, Dave and Betty Hamilton, and Marcia Petty. Elizabeth has actually created a unique illustrative backdrop for our information table that shows in a visual fashion how much we need and where we are. And believe it or not, it doesn't have a thermometer on it. as you can check it out in the fellowship hall. We may get it up during the fellowship time afterwards, and then the information will be there next week on the table. But as many of you know, the process of purchasing and renovating this building has been divided into three phases, and we're currently in phase one, which is buy it and fix it up so we can use it. And this phase will end on December 31st. It may end, probably will end on December 31st of this year. So last spring, before we even owned the building, we estimated we needed about $310,000 to complete phase one. The actual purchase, and we didn't even own the building at that point. So the actual purchase and renovation turns out to be closer to about $350,000. Because of this necessary increase in the scope of the renovations, we pray that we can raise this by the end of the year, but it may need, this phase one may need to flow over into next year. So how have we done so far? So to date, in phase one, in 16 months, the congregation has given $260,000, given or pledged, toward the $350,000 need. So we are just very thankful. So if you can do the math in your head, you see that we have $90,000 yet to give. So realizing an additional $90,000 after giving $260,000 in 16 months, based on past giving, seems, humanly speaking, a real stretch, probably beyond our capacity. So, as I say, it may flow over into next year. But finishing the first floor, including the addition of the needed bathrooms, can't be done until most of these funds come in, either given, pledged, or last resort, borrowed. So let's pray for God to give all of us discernment between now and December 31 about what we could give and the joyful spirit to give it to the Lord as a gift. So finishing the renovation in phase one is key to bringing our facility to a point where we can fully utilize it in our mission. Even though there are other things we like to do, we need to get it to a point where we can use it fully for God's call on our lives. I like the fact that the last part of it centers on putting new bathrooms in. I'm telling myself, well, maybe our bladders will be reminding us to continue to support the needs here. But at this point, we are not planning a third pass-the-plate offering. To give, just pick up an envelope from the building to serve table in the fellowship hall and mail it in or put it in the offerings in the box. There'll be special envelopes for that. You can also give online. Just be sure to designate it. It would be phenomenal if we could fulfill our original goal of raising $50,000 more and then see how far we could go at eating into the additional $40,000. So let's all pray. Let's look into our own resources and look to God and see what He will do. If you have other thoughts or questions or ideas, please talk to myself or one of the members of the committee. I'm hanging around after the service and be happy to do that. And thank you very much for the opportunity to share.
Good. Thank you, Jim. Let's pray and give thanks to God for His faithfulness and grace over these 8 years, and then let's pray that God will provide and continue to bear fruit in our church. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks because You are good and You are faithful, and You have been at work in ways that might have been through our weakness or ways that we could not see, but we know that You have surely been at work, touching lives, bringing Your kingdom, changing people's hearts, and bringing them to know Your glory. And we pray that You would do that all the more. Please pour out Your Holy Spirit on each person in this church. We pray for its leadership. We pray for wisdom and humility and love and faith and hope. We pray for each member in this church to recognize and appreciate their gifts and their place in the body, and that they would be empowered and equipped to serve You. And may Your body do its work, Lord, and may we do Your will, and may we advance Your kingdom here in the city of Wilmington. Father, we pray that You would provide what is needed here, what Jim has just shared with us. We know that everything belongs to You, that nothing is too hard for You, and that You've probably already deposited here in the church all that is needed to do the work You're calling us to. Again, we love You and praise You and just stand in awe of how You have been at work, and we look forward in hope to what You're going to do in the next 8 years. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.